I tell you how much I appreciate being here, and I'll bet you. Tell you, last time I was with you at Peggy and Fred's at your place, was a wonderful time of breakthrough for me. Because you did me such an awesome service by listening to me. And all of you that have things to share know how wonderful it is that somebody will listen, because it opens you. And even though we tried to record it at that time, the recording was very poor, and I said, hey, that was A-OK. But what you did for me is you really wanted to hear what I had to say. And any of you that minister, or even whatever, and we all do in some way, we share and minister, it is a wonderful thing to have a wife that will listen, or a husband that will take time to listen, and to give us a chance to find out what's written in the book. And so I want to appreciate, not only because you listen to me, but you have the ability to listen. You are a qualified group of people to listen. And what limited experience I have in 40 years of ministering and sharing different places in the nation and among different kinds of people, I commend you. God has done a great, awesome work in you to give you an ear. Not only to hear what's being spoken, but to hear within. That's where all hearing begins, is to hear within. You can't hear within. So that's my appreciation for you, and so I'm glad to be here again today. And but I wonder, maybe I'd like to have Carolyn share a little bit, and I don't know what she has in her heart, maybe nothing, but maybe she can come and say a word.
I don't know how much, except that it's wonderful.
There's plenty in there.
Said, I just came in, and it was just like I came into a heaven that was created by all of you, because we make heaven.
Yeah.
And I agree with, I guess it's Bud.
Yeah.
I've been so aware that I'm a minister's daughter, and I've heard a lot, been to a lot of churches, and it's been absolutely wonderful. I've loved it all my life. But I see that our concepts and our understanding are now becoming reality in our lives. We're not just talking about love, we are love. And we know we are. We're loving as Jesus, and Jesus loves every realm, every person, no matter where they are, and the unfolding of his purpose in them, and we are that now. And when people have different doctrinal understandings, even lifestyles we don't like, you know what? We just let God fix them, and we just love them.
Yeah.
We just love them. We talked about being sons of God, and now we know we are.
Yes.
Because the Son of God is the expression of him. And what is he? He's full of love, peace, acceptance. We avoid the appearance of evil when we see it come, and we go right through, and we find the Christ, and we speak, and we come forth. And then God takes off those garments when it's time on those people, then when they need it, not when we think they need it. And it's so wonderful, because this is just happening here, or just in Missouri. We see it all over the nation. People have laid down swords, and they've picked up each other, and they've held them in their arms, and they say, I accept you as you are. I love you as you are.
Yes.
And he's really coming. This is his coming on the planet, and we are participants in it. We're creators, and we're participants.
Yes.
As we yield one to another, knowing that we need each other. We are the corporate living body of Christ. We know that we're living. We're living. Now we're an organism in him. And it's so wonderful, because when I come here, I touch another part of myself, and I'm stimulated, and I grow back to our people in Missouri, and I know that I've got more to give them, because I've tasted of all of you. So it's a wonderful privilege. Thank you, Jeanette, for doing that. We just come because we want to be fed by you. And we know in giving of ourselves, we will be fed and strengthened and enlarged in our knowing of him. So thank you for having us.
There's such an awareness in me that we really don't need to hear another thing. Really don't. We are the reality of what God is.
Mm-hmm.
The awareness of that needs to grow in us.
Yes.
And so for that reason, we do need to hear. But not because we need to learn more, but because the awareness in us of the reality that we already are,
yes,
have always been,
yes,
needs to awaken in us. Greater awareness,
amen,
is coming. And Jeanette was pointing us to that, pointing us to the time of opportunity, a window of opportunity is open again for us here in this area and across the nation. And so, yes, yes,
yeah,
wonderful.
And I guess I should say, it came to me, I was looking at all of you, and I heard, I have qualified each and every one of you.
Cool.
Now that you know that, that each one of you has been qualified by your walk in Him. You have the goods. By His grace and by the processing of the Father in your lives, right, it's all Him. But yet each one of you are qualified. You're qualified. Give forth that which He is in you. You qualify.
Yes.
Amen.
You are the substance of my reality. You're the hope of my living. You're releasing me to be. And as you gently touch me, your love awakens me into the knowing of my reality. You are the substance of my reality.
You're the hope of my living.
You're the hope of my living. You're releasing me to be. And as you gently touch me, your love awakens me into the knowing of my reality.
Oh, it's the morning
of the third day, and I'm rising again. The angels who attended have rolled the stone away, and the watchmen who were sleeping have all gone astray. Oh, the grave, it can't hold me anymore.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my hands, behold my feet, it is I myself. A spirit has no flesh and bone, as you see me to have. Well, put your hand in my wound, that you might believe.
Oh, I'm a body.
I'm a body.
I'm a body.
I'm a body.
Oh, I'm a body.
I'm a body.
Oh, I'm a body.
I'm a body.
Not just spirit anymore.
The morning
of the third day, and I'm rising again.
Yes.
The angels who attended have rolled the stone away, and the watchmen who were sleeping have all gone astray, and the grave can't hold me anymore.
Oh, behold
my hands, behold my feet,
oh,
it is I myself. A spirit has no flesh and bone, as you see me to have. Put your hand in my wound, that you might believe.
Oh, I'm a body.
I'm a body.
Oh, I'm a body.
I'm a body.
Oh, I'm a body.
I'm a body. Not just spirit anymore.
So the grave never was a hole in the ground. So the grave was always your mind.
Yeah.
No, it's a trapment in a physical mortality consciousness.
Yeah.
The body was never your grave. It was what you thought about your body that became your grave.
Yeah.
That's where the eternal man chose to die,
in order that there might be a resurrection. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You want to say something else?
But there's no greater honor than Jesus is being honored in this hour.
Yes.
He's being honored by the awakening in you.
Yes, amen.
You are Him.
Yes.
Awakening.
Amen.
You don't lose any identity. You become everything that you've ever thought.
Amen.
You know, if you have to let go of anything, it's only your attachment to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Nothing wrong with anything about you.
Exactly.
Everything about you is wonderful, and you came a long way to have it. And you laid down a lot in the worlds of light and eternity to possess this inheritance.
Yes.
Don't count a little.
No.
Don't despise it.
That's no. Right.
And only let go of what Eric was telling, the attachment to earth.
Yeah.
The treasure is in earth. It's in the field.
Yeah.
You need to buy the field. You need to possess your ground.
Mm-hmm.
You need to own your inheritance.
Yes.
And he gave us the energy and the awareness to that. He opened a portal, an opening.
Yes, he did.
He made an opening.
Yes.
He made a way.
Mm-hmm.
He's the way shower. Not only the way shower, he said, I am the way. What does it mean is that you got to identify.
Yes.
You can't just say, well, thank you for showing me the way. You got to identify. When you see him, you're looking at yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Allow identification to come.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful, powerful one. And you were wounded for my transgression. And you were bruised for my iniquity. In you. Surely you have borne my sorrow. And by your stripes we for my transgression, you were bruised for our iniquity. Surely you have borne my sorrow. We are thankful for the way you've created, and we are thankful for the pathway you have made. We are thankful for giving and your brokenness, for it's the pathway for our wholeness to be seen. There had to be a brokenness. I'm staying with the theme. I think it's the theme of the Spirit for today, for the meeting. He was broken for me. And it was only my guilt and my awareness of my sin that made me to think that he was broken because I'd done something wrong. But strangely enough, in accepting his brokenness for whatever reason I thought was his brokenness, it did deliver me from my sin. It did deliver me from my guilt. And then he could talk to me. And he began to say, well, I really didn't die to appease God for your sin. I really didn't die. It was okay for you to think that. You needed to believe that. I really didn't die for that. God never desired any sacrifices or offerings. He only wanted an obedient ear, and that's what I had. I had an obedient ear that brought me to the cross. I came to satisfy my Father's heart. I didn't hang on that tree
for any wrong that I had done or any wrong that you had done. I hung on that cross to make a doorway for you so you could see yourself. Because brokenness, and he is the picture of our brokenness. The wounds on him are our brokenness. He only took upon himself your brokenness so you could see your brokenness. Because it isn't about getting rid of your brokenness. It's about accepting your brokenness. The reason you can't be God manifest in this plane is because you resist your mortality. Getting rid of your mortality is not going to manifest God in a greater way. Because you had all immortality before you came. And yet you chose to come. Yet you chose to come into these lower planes of darkness where you could and see all that you've seen and that you've created. So brokenness lies at the beginning. The chick has to break what was once its home. The womb, the waters of the womb that protect the child had to be broken, and when the waters break, we know there's good news on the way. It can't be much longer. The child in the womb can't survive long without the protective waters. And even for the entrance of life, there has to be a brokenness. Something has to break for the entrance of life and for the giving of life. So brokenness is a part of our whole experience. See? All right, I want to tell you, I want to share an awareness with you. It's the thing that enables us to hear what Spirit is saying to you, strangely enough, isn't our cranial capacity. It isn't how big your brain is. Some of us have too much brain. I'm thankful for every bit of brain I got, and I don't despise brain. It's really tough when you got to do without it. But some people who have little less cranial power seem to get along better and seem to know God better. You know?
Yep.
It's really your emotional body that helps you to interface eternal truth. It's really the fact that you can feel that's more important than that you can understand. Really. Now, that's been a long time for us to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Because our emotions have been so troublesome to us. They've been such a trap to us. And we have so long, we have decried the woman because she is so sensitive emotionally, so capable emotionally, and we have definitely kept her in second, third, or fourth place so that the ship could really float. Especially in our culture, maybe not all cultures, but our culture especially has been male, left brain dominated, right? Because we want to get it right. But I think that the time of release has come, and the honoring of the feminine principle among us and the awareness that our emotional body is to be treasured is a wonderful step in the right direction for us. And it's in your emotional body that you experience brokenness. Right? I don't want to have a show of hands, but how many have lost a child? Yep. Can you, how much? My daughter Deborah, in order for her to come forth in the purpose for which she came to earth, was given a child, now just without going into the long, wonderful story of it, was given a child, and that child at 9 years of age laid down her life for her mother. Granddad, grandpa was around, and grandma was around. Oma and opa is what they call us. We were around. We experienced it. We went to children's hospital. We sat there when the report of the stage 3 glioma, about almost the worst kind of cancer in the back of the brain. We were there through the whole trauma of 2 years, and we were made clearly to understand by the Spirit that that young girl purposely was sent to this plane and willingly claimed to lay down her life so that Deborah, her mother, who was a friend in the greater realms, could accomplish the purpose for which she was sent. We saw a miniature repeat of Calvary happening right in our lives. And it totally broke open my awareness. It totally made the whole, everything I'm talking to you about, our experience in the greater worlds of light from which we've come, our incarnation in this plane, and the purpose for our journey, and the purpose of the cross to help us to walk our journey, it made it all etched clearly and understandably in my mind. Her laying down her life did that for me. So Calvary isn't only something that happened 2,000 years ago. Calvary is a principle that exists in the source itself before there was any need for Calvary. Before there was any brokenness or sin, the principle of brokenness was initiated in the heart of the source before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And you know what it says in the earth plane, when this Lamb was first introduced to a people at a conscious plane at a corporate level, and they were instructed to slay a lamb for each household.
Yes. Yes.
And they were to take the blood of that lamb and make an entrance, an exit for them, to make a way for them. The blood was to make a way for them. And now Jesus on Calvary is not a repeat of the lamb of Egypt. But both came out of the greater knowing in the Father's heart that from the beginning of time He promised that there would always be a way made for His people. There would always be an opening made. His people would never be left to their own design to have to find their way out. A way would always be made of His faithfulness. The principle of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world is simply the attestation of the Father's source itself that He would be faithful to His own word to perform it and to make a way for everything He purposed and planned throughout all ages of time. But that principle could never, ever be fully understood. It was not understood fully in the days of the children of Israel. It was effective, but it was not understood. But only when John the Baptist stood on the cusp of Aries and Pisces, and he made the pronunciation for that age, and he says, "Behold," that was the key word. I don't know how did he know that word? That's King James English. Oh. I wonder what he said. He didn't say, "Behold."
No.
He said, in Aramaic, whatever, if there are Aramaic scholars here, we could say it right. He said, "Take a look. Take a look and see. You better take a good look, because if you don't look really good, you're just going to see a man. Or you're just going to see a prophet. Or you're just going to see a savior. Take a good look, because what you're really seeing is the Lamb of a slain from the foundation of the world. You're seeing it in this man like it will never ever be seen again as clearly as it will be seen in this man. And all the cosmos will take a look and see the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. In this man. In Jesus of Nazareth. My cousin. Can you imagine? John the Baptist is talking about his cousin. And he's beginning to make these pronunciations. All at once he realizes he's not standing by a little river Jordan. He's not just talking to a few people. All at once, he's aware he's on the cosmic stage of the ages, making a pronunciation concerning the incarnation of one individual. I can sort of feel that energy in Jeanette. Could you feel that energy in Jeanette? She wasn't just talking to a few of us in a house, in this wonderful house. I'm so glad for this house, right? Because we can be here. It's our location in this moment of time. We're in this little space that's provided for us, see. But the pronunciation that she makes goes much broader. It's for the purpose of this time and place. There's a window open.
Hello.
Let the reverberator go out through the land. There's an open window. Take advantage. Step out. Step in. Because the window will pass.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Window comes in order to pass. The window, time window is here.
Not by the will of man, not by the will of God.
Right, by the will of God. Hallelujah. So, Jesus is not the only man that ever incarnated by the will of the Father. He's not. He incarnated by the will of the Father so that you might know that you too, like him, came not by the will of flesh, not by the will of man, not because whatever reasons you may think, but by the will of the Father who sent you. In fact, all truth concerning you is mirrored in that man. And by looking at him, you will have insight. The Spirit will give you insight concerning you. And the truth be known, that Jesus is the image of a greater reality. You like that?
Yes.
Even as the Lamb of God, he's an image of a greater reality.
Yes.
That greater reality is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, but it can be seen in him. And so he can be rightly called the Lamb of God. But so can you rightly be called. If that eternal principle is manifest in your life, then you are the Lamb of God. You are part of that Lamb company.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's eternal principle manifests in form. Right?
Yeah.
So I want to share with you just a thought that I want to share with you today. What is it that's going to enable you to step into the portal of light that's being made available to us? What is it that you need? You know, Eric said you got to let go. And other things have been said here today. What is it that you need? You need a thought adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
You need an adjustment in your perceptions. You don't need to make any payment. You don't need to get more ground down and say, God, I'm really willing to give something else. You've already given it.
Yeah.
You gave it before you ever came here.
Yeah.
Before you ever became what you are, you gave up your privilege of the worlds of light to participate in a physical body. Any kind of giving up you can do in this plane is just a poor little shadow of that giving up.
Yeah.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who didn't think that his eternal estate in glory was something to be grasped. He counted it not robbery, or he didn't grasp it, but he willingly laid down and accepted brokenness in order to become mortal like you. Right? Let that mind be in you. Now, the reason the mind can be in you, because that's what you did. That mind could not be in you if you hadn't also done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. Here we are.
Yeah.
Amen. So why then do we need to experience brokenness? And we do. Anybody here? Yeah. You need brokenness to enter in. But the reason is because that's the principle. That's the way it works. That's the way it's always been. That's the way God ordained it from the foundation of the earth. That's why God was willing to have his own being broken. That's because the source was willing to experience its brokenness so that you could become. Your becoming is his brokenness. And the reason you need to experience brokenness in this life, and there's a multitude of ways that you've created it. You created it through your loss of your children, through the loss of fellowship, through churches throwing you out, from husbands, wives, whatever. You created experiences of brokenness. Wasn't so much that you could learn brokenness, because deep inside you know brokenness. You are the result of brokenness. You are the brokenness of God. But you need to accept not just your broken experiences, but you need to accept something much deeper in your being. You need to accept that you are the brokenness of God. And that emotional body that you now have, that you didn't have before you came here, is going to enable you to accept something that you could not accept in the greater worlds. And that is that you are the manifest brokenness of God.
Hallelujah.
And you do it by saying, yes, Lord. You do it when your child is taken from you, and you say, Lord, you know, I don't understand. Or when you are betrayed. And then Jesus has to come to you, and he has to show you that in the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread. And he showed the principle to his disciples. His disciples didn't understand it, but emotionally they accepted it. They said, yes, Lord. This we will do. As long as we don't understand, we're going to do this. So they celebrated, every time they got together, they celebrated the Lord's Supper. And we carried it on for a tradition. But mostly it was because we didn't understand it, but we accepted it. We say, yes, Lord, we don't understand our own brokenness, but we accept it because you told us to do this. We obeyed, yes, just like he did. Yes. And your obedience brought you to where you are, but the time is now to go beyond obedience, and it's time for the unveiling. You need to know that when you look at him, you're looking at yourself. That when he was crucified, you already had been crucified. Yes. When you left the greater worlds and took on a physical body, your brokenness, and you need to accept your brokenness. Not as something to be resisted. Not as something to be changed, but something to pass through,
yes,
as a portal.
Yes.
That the brokenness of God is the necessary, inevitable portal for the resurrection. Hallelujah. I will share how I was first made aware to emphasize, because if you will value your emotional body, now, I can tell you in ways that you don't value it. But I don't need to. You already know.
Yeah.
You say, I don't ever want to feel that again. I'm going to shut that out of my life, Lord. Lord, don't ever. Right? Because the pain is so great. But you don't know that you needed to really feel your rejection of your own emotional body, so God gave you that experience, so that later on he could wake you up that you are in a state of rejection, not just of your own emotional body. You are in a state of rejection of awareness of much greater things that you couldn't understand. And that the cross of Christ, when you really, really look at it and let yourself feel it, and when you let the blood that was shed there for you, when you identify and say, yes, Lord, I know you died there for me, you died there as me, not because of anything I did wrong, but because you gave yourself so I could understand this brokenness that I'm living in that I don't understand, this brokenness that is my life. But Jesus on the cross isn't the only one that shows you your brokenness. The wife that lives you, with you, shows you your brokenness. The husband you live with, the children, the fellowship you live in, the brokenness is always with us. It's wanting to be accepted. God will send God will send people that are
obstinate.
People that you really wish weren't there. To show you your own brokenness, your limits for love, for the purpose of seeing an acceptance. Well, I share this experience, and then I really feel that the Spirit has said, I can feel it myself. I can feel an opening in myself that I didn't know before.
Yes.
I talked to you. I didn't know. I knew that we had to talk about brokenness today, but I didn't know how deep it would go. See. And when Jesus stood there with his disciples, I've known this for a long time. I've known when he took the bread and he broke it, they thought, he said, this is my body. They didn't understand. They didn't even know that he was going to be hanging on a cross the next day. They didn't know that. They just didn't understand. They just didn't know how they felt, how humiliated they felt when none of them were willing to be a servant to one another. And he had to come, who was their master, and he had to gird himself. The one whom they loved had to gird himself, and he had to serve them because they weren't willing to serve. That's the extent that they were capable of being aware of their brokenness. That's all they knew. But they believed. They believed, and they remembered the words. And Paul, who wasn't with them, Paul is the one that quotes those words. How did he learn them? He learned them from the other disciples. They told him, well, we were with him the night that he was betrayed. We were there. We were in that ceremony. And remember what he said. He said, as long as you do this in remembrance of me. So we're going to do this. We're going to break the bread together. And now we've graduated many places. We don't need to take a piece of bread, but we know that we are the brokenness of God and that out of our brokenness flows. But we're going to another level with it. We're realizing today that we are not only that brokenness, but we are the very brokenness of the source itself, of God himself, the brokenness. And this is how I was made aware of that first. I was standing on a balcony, and some of you who read some of what I write have read this. I was standing on a balcony and I saw this great tree, and I said, I want to see if I can emotionally take you there, because it was such an awesome experience. And you don't have to be seeing a tree to do this. You can image a tree in your mind. You can think of this great maple tree, and you've seen how the maple keys can be so on the surface, it just fills the whole tree. You know, they come early in the spring before the leaves even bud, and a great wind came and picked up all those maple keys, and they went and up like a great swarm in the cloud. They went hundreds and thousands of feet in the air like a great swarm. They left. And some of them immediately started coming down, but most of them went for a long way into the air. And I had the feeling inside of me, I knew that the tree was God. And I could feel what the tree was feeling. I could feel what God felt when he sent us, when he just issued us from his being. When he released us, when he was broken. It was God that was broken in us in a myriad of pieces. Now you don't need to worry as if there's nothing left of God. He's still around. He didn't die or he didn't go someplace. But he experienced brokenness in us because he didn't give you something. He didn't give you a gift. You are a piece of himself that he was willing to break from himself. There's the original brokenness that you are. You are literally the brokenness of God. Right? And I could feel exactly how the source itself was feeling, how he was totally blessing. And I can only say this, but it goes much deeper probably than what I can say. But I could feel in him that he was releasing each seed of himself. And he was blessing it. And he said, go and create. Go and create freely, without limits, without restraint. Go and create. And I will always bless your creation. I can't deny it.
No.
I felt it. That didn't line up with my theology or anybody else's very much. It didn't fit much with anything that I already understood. But I know it to be so because of the joy that's in me about it.
Yes.
The joy it creates to know God's real heart towards His creation is only love and blessing. And I think what we've understood of the doctrine or the teaching of what we call reconciliation, or what is called inclusive gospel of inclusion, different names we've given it, people began to touch on that reality of that love. And they began to see that there couldn't be some of the things that we've taught about God just could not be true.
Exactly.
God couldn't go and destroy His own creation.
Thank God.
Out of some kind of, you know, we knew, how did we know that? Because we knew the love of God. It wasn't easy to let go of that teaching. Now, if you've been in that, it's tough. Because you sort of want to correct things. You sort of want to inflict some. And I'm not saying there's not correction. Absolutely there is.
Yes.
The Father of spirits, if you've never known Him. If you give yourself to Him and say, Father, I want to walk in Your ways, one of the first things He's going to do, He's going to say, oh, you do you? Well, thank you. I've been waiting for you. I can't do anything with you because I totally have released you. I can't do anything with you until you freely, of your own will, ask for my correction.
Hallelujah.
See?
Glory.
That's how deep it goes.
Yes.
And then you go through places where you feel you like you don't have any choice or any will of your own. But the way you got there is you asked for it.
Amen.
You were never coerced or forced by God.
No.
There might be other entities that pretend to be God and that have taken on as if they are God, that coerce and that force. And there's a great division in the universe between love on the one hand, which is the source of life and light, and coercion and control on the other. But I promise you, the forces of control and coercion, they were created by you and I, or beings like you and I, that came from the brokenness of God, sometime down the road began to create those paradigms. God Himself did not create those directly. Because it's not Him.
Amen.
We are the creators of those, and they serve God's purpose.
Yes. Yes.
Anything you call evil or that opposes or that hinders, all serve the eternal purpose.
Amen.
We know that.
Amen.
That's our great liberty, our great joy,
yes,
our great wonderful delight. There's one more thing, and I'll, some months later after this, I was so wonderfully enthralled by this awareness of the depth of the great depth of God's love for His own. How could God not love limitlessly every part of His creation, because every part of it is Himself. He's not loving you somehow separate. God doesn't know separation like you do. You are the part of God that knows separation. But that which remained left an emptiness in it that remembers you. So God feels the pain of separation in you, but He Himself understands and never ever leaves you. However we say it is going to be imperfect.
Yeah.
But we do need to say it, and we'll say it differently tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. But we need to say it because our mind needs a pathway of understanding for our emotional body to embrace the realities of God.
Amen.
So we do need to teach, we do need to express, we need to get it right. Not having our confidence in getting it right, or not somehow thinking God's going to love us better if we get it right. Yeah. Got it? You know, with the right scriptures and now, but we do need to get it right in the moment. And again tomorrow, and tomorrow maybe more than today.
Yes.
But there is a right belief for us in this hour.
Yes.
At the beginning of this dawning age, there's truth coming to unfold this age. And I promise you, what God needs is a body of people who will be the containers of that truth. Not because they understand it all, but because they have an emotional interface that embraces the light when you feel it.
Yes.
You say, yes, Lord.
Yes.
Yes, when you hear the truth, you say, yes, Lord.
Yes.
And as you say yes, you make an opening for the whole age to unfold.
Yes.
That's what we are. That's what you are together here in this area.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When you look at the New Testament and you see how 5,000 gathered in one time and how all through Asia Minor there were little deposits of light. What were they? They were the containers that held the light that opened that age. And not much new has come from that day. Everything that came since that time has been based on what Paul taught.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what was received in this hour. But I promise you, there's an opening in the heavens today of light and truth that doesn't have anything to do with the age that's passing or the ages that have been, but is for the dawning of a whole new age. It's based on previous ages, yes.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm referring to them constantly. I'm referring to what Jesus said. I'm referring to what Moses said, to what's written in the Torah concerning the beginning of things. Yes. But I promise you that the light that we're receiving is not coming from the Torah. It's not coming from the words that were quoted that Jesus said or what Paul said. They're coming from the heart of the Father itself.
Amen.
Just like they came to Jesus. We're free.
Amen.
You're free to really, really listen. And if God chooses the word in you that doesn't seem very acceptable, you can say it anyway. And if there's conflict comes over it, it's only for the purpose of understanding.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry whether you get it right every time. Sometimes you're supposed to get it wrong. So your attitude can be tried.
Yeah.
So you see if your brethren really love you. I've repented over things that I've said because I said them hastily. Now I'm waiting on Spirit to confirm it in me. I've done that. It's all in the making of the president, isn't it? For you and for I. All right? So that the next time when you meet your Baptist friend, your most important thing isn't going to be to change his doctrine. It's going to be to love him and make a place for him. And then when he asks, you'll change his doctrine.
Amen.
You won't change it by disannulling his doctrine, but you show him the greater meaning of what he's already believed.
Yeah, right.
But you can't do it without love. We know that now. So there's such a peace for us as brethren. So I was in Minnesota. I was walking along the side. I got to just finish this up. I was walking along, and there was a maple key on the ground. I thought, whoa, I remember. Maple keys. Yeah, the tree. Yeah, those infinite, those beautiful seeds, those God seeds that God blessed, you know, without limitation, like he did with Abraham, saying, in blessing I will bless thee, having no greater to swear by, right? A covenant that God made with himself, right? Like he made with Adam, a covenant that God made with himself and didn't require anything of Adam nor of Abraham, not so like the law, where a requirement was made, right? We understand that in the beginning, God made a covenant with himself. Because guess what? There was nobody to make a covenant with but himself. And you are the result of that covenant. You are the brokenness that came and the life of God that wants to express itself and know itself and find itself, that wants to know how love really can become love. All that love can become, God chose the journey of separation and brokenness in you, right? So I was walking along the sidewalk. I see this maple key on the floor. And I says, I noticed that the maple key comes in a pair. And they're sort of joined at the hip.
Yeah.
And the thought immediately occurred to my mind, will that maple key fly? And you know, I thought I took a deep breath, because almost as if what I had heard was being tested. This is really true. If what I heard is really true, then that maple key cannot fly. Then it's attached. It has to be broken. Because brokenness is from the beginning. And I picked it up, the trembling knot, and I threw it, and it couldn't fly. It just sort of down. But when you break it, and you take one half, it flies. So brokenness is not something that happened to you in any kind of a mistake or error. It's something that happened to you so you could fly, so you could experience things that you couldn't experience if you didn't have brokenness. So you could know not just about God, but you could know the heart of God. See, so as we, as a people come on the planet for the first time in all of history, that will honor the brokenness of God, a whole new paradigm of truth and light will break on the horizon. A whole new passage, entrance is being made for us to know the heart of God. And in knowing Him, we realize we are Him, and the pathway is made secure that He looked for. All through the ages, God simply looked for a pathway to come. And we are that pathway. We are His expression. We can never become that. We've always been that. We just haven't known it. But now, as our understanding is open through the resurrection, because this isn't about brightening up your thoughts. This is resurrection. This is coming up. This is leaving the grave of limited human consciousness and going into the realms of eternal understanding and life. That's your true portion. While still in the body. Treasure the body. Thank you. You're wonderful. Glad that I could touch you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Mm-hmm. I feel like singing an Upper Room song. I'm sure you all know it. Thank you for
saving my soul.
Thank you, Lord,
for making me whole. Giving to me a salvation so rich and free. I remember as a young Baptist boy, you know, just got saved, just had an experience at the 7 o'clock service and crying, and somebody asked me, he says, well, what does it really mean to be saved? And I didn't know. It was okay not to know, because it happened to me emotionally. But today, I have a much greater, maybe I still don't fully know, but I have an understanding of much greater light about it. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Reality of who we are. We've always been.
That's
right.
And I was sitting listening to a group, and they were talking about the coming. Oh, they were longing for the manifestation of the sons of God. Mm-hmm. And finally, I couldn't stand it any longer. And I said, oh, I wished I had a house. I want a house so bad. And they all looked at me and said, I thought you built a house. Exactly, brother. The house is built.
Yes,
we are.
We are.
Of him.
Yes.
We see of him who is invisible.
Yes.
We crystallize the one who has no form.
Yes.
There is this day.
Yes.
There's not a day coming. This is the day that he is breaking forth in us who we are, not what we're going to become. I will never become nothing, for I am the completeness, the fullness, the manifestation of the glorious God who is, always was, and always will be. I was broken. I love that, brother. I was broken from him.
Yes.
For the John told us we had the seed of God.
Yes.
God's seed can't be any more than himself, the fullness, the completeness, the manifestation of who he is and what he is. This very hour, he is. He's not becoming. He is. He will never become. He always is.
Yes.
Oh, didn't mean to get so excited, but I heard something rising up so powerful. It is such a powerful rising in this day.
Yes.
Oh, God, let us see what's happening in the heavens. Open our eyes. The manifestation of what we're doing in us on this earth.
Yes.
Oh, God, let us see. Let us see. We confine ourselves to this earth. God hasn't. We have confined ourselves.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's
what I'm saying, we don't believe it, but we say it. I am spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I am spirit, living in a body.
Mm-hmm.
Now we say I'm a body having a spiritual experience. And some understand I'm a spirit having a human experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I came from God. We don't believe we came from God.
No, we really don't. We're
here. But if we came from God, we are of his substance.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We're never going to become anything.
We
already are.
We already are.
The I am, who is the I am, always will be and will never change. And then he says, as you are, as I am, you are, as you are, I am. There's a complete identity.
Yes.
Yes.
A complete identity that he has with us.
Yes.
Yes.
Because
yes,
we are him.
You are.
Amen.
We are the same seed.
Absolutely.
Well, no, I guess we're not, huh?
Yes, we are.
We are.
We are.
Yeah. The thrilling thing is that he's raising our consciousness. New age term, so I can't use that. But he's raising our consciousness to the realities. This is not the only reality. Oh, we're so confined with this stinking reality that we think we've created here. And we've created it. It's okay. Nothing wrong with it. By the way, it's wonderful. And this brother said something that I have not forgotten that changed my life. He said, I can't love you till I love me.
Yeah.
I've learned to love me.
Yeah, well,
and I have a greater love for everybody else.
Yeah.
Is it true?
It's true. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just want to say hi.
Let's sing that one,
thing. Okay. You are what you see.
I just want to say something really, because sometimes things happen. I just think it's so beautiful, Barbara. I felt the love and the recognition of God in you to each one of us when you went through. And it's just such a beautiful thing, what you did. And I was so touched by that.
You are what is seen, are the one who is invisible. You crystallize the one who can know.
Far beyond our personality and makeup. Our oneness is in the God seed that we are, the substance of God. That we are, that's our oneness. And as it's unveiled to you, then you say, I'm one with you. But it's not because you became one, it's because the oneness was unveiled to you. So the oneness has a beginning only in your experience. In truth, the oneness always is.
Yes.
See, the same as what you were talking about concerning the manifestation of the Father. It only has a beginning in awareness and experience.
Yes.
In truth, it always is.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful?
Yes. When Rokas, in November of 1980, when he received that song, You Are What It Seems, and it's gone across the nation, we're just so blessed. You know, it's like, people sometimes sing it a little differently, but we don't care. It's just getting out there, right? But when he received it, he first wrote it as a love song to me.
Well,
and that's why the first part is singular, and then it goes into the corporate.
What is she? She is what is she?
But anyway, what we first saw when that awakening came, when he looked at me and we weren't together, we had no idea that 6 years later we'd be married. Yeah, he was just a lifetime friend, but we had a knowing. All of a sudden it opened up and he saw me and I saw him after who we were eternally. And it changed our lives. It ended up creating a lot of havoc. 6 years later we got married. But anyway, when you first have that knowing, when something happens and when you look at someone and you have that knowing of their eternal dimension, and you're like, sure, I'm seeing of him that's invisible. When Barbara kissed you, she was seeing that one that's invisible in you. And when that first happens and that being wakes you up, when that first happened in me toward Rosie, and guess what? Then I could sing it to all of you. And I'm so aware that that's what the Father's done in our lives, as our experience. We've had that awakening. It had to first come on a one-to-one.
Yeah.
Something happened when somebody ministered or someone talked, and you didn't know you were seeing him.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, and then all of a sudden it expands. And that's why in the next one it says, the way we got it, you know, we bear the name of him that is unnameable, because there's no name that can contain him. And there's no one person that can contain him. Then you begin to love everyone. I began, even though I lived with this man for 21 years, and it's been an awesome, wonderful marriage, but I know that he can't be all that he is, as God is. I need to look in Sheila's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, I don't know why, but when I look in Sheila's eyes, just sometimes I'm quiet enough to feel him in Sheila. And I know, Sheila, sometimes I got to be around you. And that's true with all of it. There's something about Rosie coming out, and she was like a young girl when she jumped out and embraced us. And I realized I needed to touch him in you today. And that's true with all of us.
Yes.
So I want you to sing this, and I want you to hear the intensity, because this knowing that we had literally tore up our lives, Rokas and I. Little did we know I have to end up leaving houses and lands. So I ended up with this fella, but I'm so glad I did, because it wasn't him. It was the truth that God wanted to break out to humanity. And that's why the song's gone from coast to coast and all over the world. And we come in and people are singing the song and they're like, wow. People don't even know we got the song. They start singing the song. They sing a little different beat. But it's just so awesome to us, because it's the truth, you know. It wasn't. It's the truth that found resident in us. We don't own it.
Yeah.
Begin.